Genesis. The book of Genesis, very easy to find. It's right after the table of contents, so you can't miss it, all right? Genesis chapter 4, if you will, tonight. Genesis chapter 4. All school people, the students and the staff are just super excited because this week is spring break. Amen. And we don't have to go. And that is such a blessing. One of my favorite weeks in the year, to be honest with you. Spring break, it's a good thing. Good thing. And I think most all the schools are on spring break. I've got to talk to Dr. Reed over at Bible College because he always schedules spring break at the wrong time. And it never coincides. So I wouldn't have to get up in the morning and go, but I do because of they have class. So we'll just do it. Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. We're going to begin reading in verse 1. And we're not going to get caught up in the story, okay? We're not going to get caught up in the story, but want to use it for a springboard tonight. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Now I want you to go back and look at verse 6 and verse 7. The Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? Now obviously the Lord knew why. He said this though in verse 7, If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Now, what happened in Genesis chapter 4 is the result of what happened in Genesis chapter 3. All right? Sin got into the world. Sin got into the world. And I want to preach to you tonight on that little phrase, sin lieth at the door. Now, I realize sometimes preachers get accused and castigated for talking about sin in generic terms, you know, not laying it out specific sins. But I do want to speak to you generically tonight, all right, because sin lieth at the door. You say, well, name the sin. Well, I don't know what sin it is lying at your door. I don't know, okay? I might pick one. I could preach on bootlegging and everybody could shout amen. We could have a good time tonight and go home and nobody feel convicted. Because as far as I know, and I try to drive by your house every now and then with the window rolled down to smell to see if you're bootlegging, and, you know, I don't do that. But, hey, wouldn't apply, okay? But I don't know exactly what it is. But the truth of the matter is that sin lieth at the door. It is sin. Now you say, what sin? Well, whatever sin it is that gets you. Whatever sin that you have to deal with, all right? We're different people. We have different appetites. We grew up differently. We grew up with different standards. We grew up with different people. And we face different temptations. Some of it, I mean, there's some things that they don't tempt me one bit in the world. I'm never tempted to swing into the smoke shop and pick up a cigar, a cigarette, or a vaporer maker. I don't know what you call those things, all right? There's no temptation there. There's none whatsoever. I don't have to steal myself going, okay, don't even look. Don't even look over there. Because I can look over there and I think, what kind of moron does that kind of stuff? But it's never had an appeal, and it does not appeal to me, so I don't have to worry about that. But there may be some of you sitting here that you have an issue with it. You've had to deal with it. Maybe you spent years sucking on the end of a cigarette, and you like that flavor, and it's there, and you deal with it, okay? You deal with it. I don't know. Maybe it's gossip. I don't normally get tempted to gossip, except when it's my brother. I don't mind spreading things about him. Different things influence us. Different things tempt us. So I want to talk to you tonight about really four things I want you to see about sin, and because it causes us all trouble. Every one of us have to deal with it. We don't all have to deal with the same specific sin or sins, but we all have to deal with sin. The Apostle Paul said, I have trouble with it. Said when my flesh, you know, when I want to do good, my flesh wants to do wrong. He said, I have to trouble, and I have to deal with that thing. He said, I realize in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. So we deal with it. We all have issues, all right? We all have sins. Salvation, when you got saved, did not mean, hey, automatically, no more problem with sin. Hey, I'll tell you what, when the trumpet sounds and we're sucked out of here, we'll have no more problem with sin. But until then, we're going to deal with it. We're going to deal with it. So just four things, real simple, real plain. Number one, sin is close. Sin is close. The Bible and the Lord talking to Cain said, sin lieth at the door. Hey, that's pretty close. That's pretty close. It's right there. It's right there. Hey, the picture is it's right there ready to enter. I mean, you just glance almost, if you will, glance the wrong direction and it's in. It's in. Got perfect illustration. Years ago, my kids were little, and my son and daughter, I'm sure, still remember this night. We lived over on Netches, and it was storming. I mean, it was raining. And one of them deals, you know, raining cats and dogs. And just pouring down, thunder was lightning, and I had the big idea. I said, I'm going to open my door and look out. Now, that house over there, the way it was built, the living room had no window. There was no window because the living room at one time was the garage. And it had been taken in the house, and so there was no window. So if you were going to look out of the living room, you had to open the door. So, man, like I say, it's pouring down rain. I opened my door and stuck my head out. We had the wooden door. Then we had a storm door, like, opened the wooden door and looked, storm door and looked out. And when I did, I heard in the back, I heard my wife and the kids, you know, what? You know, talking. I said, what's wrong with y'all? When I opened the door and I looked out, there was a wet dog got in. That dog was sitting out there on the porch going, would somebody open the door? All right. I'd never seen the dog before. I never saw it after that. You know, I never had seen it. He said, what'd you do? I threw him out. No, I encouraged him gently to go back outside. All right. He went back out. Man, he was soaking wet, you know, and he was just saying, I didn't know he was there. Open the door, psst, he was in. As far as he was concerned, that was an invitation. You know, I mean, he wasn't looking for anything else. All right, I'm in, you know. That's the way sin is. It just takes a moment of inattention, and sin gets into us. Sin begins to work in our lives. You think about it, it's not... We don't have to have much of an invitation, just a little crack. Just a little crack's all that's needed, all right? And sin will enter in. It could be just that rebellious no that you utter, and sin gets in. Just that little bit of rebellion. Hey, it might be that selfish, I'm going to do this my way. Sin gets in. Sin gets in. It could be that lingering glance. And you don't pull that glance away that you should, and then lust, the Bible says, is conceived, all right? Because we don't look away. It might be that longing look. And you know, that thing, I wish I wanted one of them all my life. And before long, we're coveting. We're coveting. We didn't plan to. That was not my desire. That was not our desire, but we just looked and we got to thinking. And before long, there it is, we're coveting. It could have been that little burst of temper. That little burst of temper. None of y'all have a temper, do you? I mean, nobody has any temper. I never have a temper. You know, man, I have a temper. And I've dealt with it down through the years. And if you have a temper, it doesn't take much to set it off if you've really got a temper, all right? It's just like flipping the switch sometimes. And that switch gets flipped, and before you know it, out of your mouth comes vile words. Why? Because temper. Temper causes us to lose control. Or in some cases, it's violent action, violent deeds. Why? Sin got in. Sin got in. Just that little thing. It's that little thing. We have to remember this: sin is an exercise of the flesh. It's not something the Spirit brings on us. It's problems in the flesh, and problems in the flesh lead to sin, all right? They lead us into sin. I mean, whatever it is, if it's frustration, aggravation, or we go on and on, it's those things that cause us. They're right there. They're just so close to us. All right, we think, well, I've got it done. I've got it conquered. I'm over it, and I've got it pushed away. And boy, I haven't had a problem with that in a long time. And then, bam, there it is. It's just that close. The Bible said sin lieth at the door. Why don't you notice, not only is it close, but it's comfortable. You see that word lieth? When you see somebody lying down, don't you think, comfortable? Comfortable, just stretched out, there it is. How does it get that way? A lot of times it's our fault. It's comfortable because we don't run it off. I'm living now where my mom lived. I'm suffering because of her sin. Mom thought it was a good idea to feed the varmint. So she would throw the scraps over the fence. So I have two varmints. Now some people would call them cats. I call them varmints. All right? But also occasionally, there's a striped cat. Most people call it a skunk. But there it is. We see it in our yard. Sometimes my wife says I do more than see it. It's there. So why is it there? Well, my mom thought it was a great idea to feed them. So she'd feed the varmints, all right? She thought, well, I'm doing them a favor. So now I've got those varmints to deal with. And I've noticed people frown on it if you shoot them, okay? So I can't do that, even though I want to, all right? There is a part of me that wants to, but that's also sin lying at the door, okay? You understand where we're coming from, right? It's right there, all right? It's right there. Hey, we allow sin to lie close because we don't really run it off. We don't truly get rid of it. So it lies there ready to jump in at any moment. It's close, all right? It's very close. So what should we do? You need to insulate yourself, all right? You need to insulate against sin by discovery. Now you say, what does it mean? Well, and the Bible tells us over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28, let a man examine himself. Let a man examine himself. You ought to take a look. You ought to take an inventory on a regular basis. We'll just sit down and kind of take an inventory at your life. Look at it, see how you're living, see what you're doing, and see, hey, am I making it easy for me to get back into sin? Remember, we talk about burning the bridges. That's what we ought to do when we're giving up some sin. We have to get rid of it, okay? Have to get rid of it. Listen, if you got a drinking problem, and if you're drinking booze, you got a drinking problem, all right? If you got a drinking problem, the way to handle it is not quit, but keep your stash just in case you get a real bad cough, all right? Don't do it. Just don't keep it. Don't keep it around. Don't allow it to be there, all right? Get rid of it. Get rid of it. If you've smoked for years and years, it's probably a good idea not to keep a pack around, just so you can remember you've conquered it. Not the wisest thing, okay? Not the wisest thing. Listen, if you can't control what you put on that TV screen, you need to get rid of the television. You need to get rid of it. It needs to be gone. Whatever it is, I mean, it just needs to be done away with. It needs to be put out of sight. Why? You need to insulate yourself against that sin. It doesn't need to be comfortable, kept close to you. You need to insulate it by discovery, by checking it out, and then by distance. Get some distance between you and it. Just get some distance. Might say, I'm putting it away. It's going to be way away. It's not in the house. It's not close. I'm getting rid of it. And one of the best places to store things like that to give you sin is out here in the dumpster. That's the place to store it. You say, well, I tried that and it was gone. That's the idea. That's what we want, okay? Store it there. Put it there. Get rid of it. Why? Then it's no longer available for you to get to. It's no longer comfortable. It's no longer within reach, all right? It's no longer there. Hey, but you'll never do it unless you insulate it with a decision. You have to decide, I will be rid of it. You have to decide, I will be rid of it. This point goes right along with the next point. Sin is close, it's comfortable, but listen, sin is a choice. You and I realize that sin's a choice. Nobody comes by you, twists your arm behind your back, and says, you've got to do it. No, it's a choice. It's a choice. Take your Bible over to James chapter 4, over in the New Testament, way past the book of Matthew and the book of Hebrews, right after the book of Hebrews, the book of James, James chapter 4. I want you to know us, all right? Here it is. James chapter 4, the last verse, verse 17. The Bible says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Hey, look, folks, we're not sitting here with a bunch of people. We're not preaching to folks that are new Christians. You've only been saved a day or two, and everything is new, and we're not talking to people who say, well, I didn't see anything wrong. I didn't know anything was wrong with that, all right? I didn't know anything. Hey, listen, Cain killed his brother Abel. There'd never been a murder before, and I'm sure no preacher had preached to him against murder, but you mark it down, Cain knew it was wrong. Cain knew it was wrong. Wasn't any of that business. Well, I mean, nobody told me. I didn't think anybody would get upset. I just hit him in the head 3 or 4 times real hard, all right? So why would people be mad? Hey, listen, you mark it down. We're not talking about something you don't know. We're talking about him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. It's our decision. It's our decision. Everybody, every one of you here, you're here tonight, with the exception of a few children, because you made a choice, I'm going to church. You made a choice. Matthew this morning, he was sick, didn't feel good. He's not feeling on top of the world right now, but he came tonight. Why? Well, he made a choice. He made a choice. He decided, I won't feel any worse at church than I am at home. You said, well, he should have stayed home. He's got something. No, it's not something you can catch. Just relax, all right? Not one of them things. Just, you know, don't breathe. Just don't breathe while you're in here, and it won't have to worry about it. Hey, listen, it's not something like that. Well, you know, he just didn't feel good. Brother Oftedal talked to him this afternoon and kind of had a rough night and wasn't feeling well. And he said, so I decided I'd stay home this morning. He said, I'm going to do it again tonight. And I said, okay. But he's watching. He's watching. Hey, that's good. That's good. Hey, it's a decision. It's a decision. People do things because they decide to do them. People don't do things because they decide not to do it. It's a choice. It is a choice. I opened that door that night in the storm. The dog got in. I had a choice. We could keep him inside. A wet, stinking dog. Or we could say, you survived until now. You'll be okay out there. That was my choice. Out you go, all right? Find your own house. Like I say, don't know where it came from. It was a choice. It was a choice. You have a choice. You have a choice in this life. You choose whether or not you sin. It's not, well, I couldn't help myself. Yes, you could. Don't say I couldn't. You say I didn't help myself. I didn't help myself. Hey, preacher, I just didn't do what I should have done. Okay, fine. Boy, it's so much better. It's so refreshing when somebody comes along and admits it's my fault, I did it, nobody's fault but mine. Instead, we're the great excuse makers in the world. We don't want to come up and admit it was my choice. It was my choice. It's just not, but sin's a choice. It's not forced on us. You say, but preacher, that guy preached this morning, we're a sinner and we sin because we're sinners. I know that, but you still have a choice. Not something overwhelms you, then it just doesn't do it. I mean, you say, well, I was just overwhelmed. No, you weren't. If that was so, I would have killed 3 or 4 people by now. Because there have been numerous times I thought, man, if I could just shoot that person. You know, it'd be so much fun. Or I would be in jail for child abuse. Because there's been numerous ones I've just wanted to smack, you know. Just pow, and you say, why didn't you do it? Because I knew it was wrong for me to do it. So I didn't do it. It was a choice. It was a choice. People make choices all the time. Sin lieth at the door, but it's our choice if we let it in. Hey, listen, sin lieth. It's comfortable, but it's our choice if we let it stay there. It's our choice. Not somebody else's. Not somebody you can point the finger at somebody else. I get after these college students sometimes about dragging in. Hey, it's their choice if they are there late or not.
Well, I woke up late.
Well, so what? Whose fault is that? Hey, we make excuses, though. We think it's a good excuse. We just think, there's nothing wrong with that. I just woke up late. Well, why'd you wake up late? Well, if you did, skip breakfast. What? Yeah. Well, I'd eat breakfast. Well, bring your shoes in your hand. Don't take time to sit down in time, but get here on time. Hey, man, just get there where you're supposed to be. It's a choice. It's a choice. We make choices. But I'm going to tell you the fourth thing, and here's the good news. Sin has a cure. Sin has a cure. Would you look back there in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 7? He said, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Now, the cure is not to be found in what you don't do. See, that's the problem with most of us. We spend our time and dealing with sin, and it's always what we don't do. I didn't do it, I didn't do it, I didn't do it, I didn't do it. But then we have to continually make that choice. Continually make that choice. You deal with things. They're there, all right? But how much better it is if you can decide, I'm going to remove it. Amen. So the temptation will not be there. I'm just going, hey, you say, well, I'm having trouble. I've got, you know, and I found myself here and wasn't nothing going on before I knew it, you know, my mind. Well, wait a minute. If thou doest well, maybe what you need to learn to do is occupy yourself constructively. That's why the Bible tells us to occupy until I come. The Lord says, occupy until I come. Don't just sit and wait. We're not just sitting and waiting. We're not to just sit in our house and every morning get up and go out and look to the east. Nope, not coming right now. And then at night, go out at night before you go to bed, look in the east. Nope, he's not coming now. Hey, we're not supposed to spend our life just sitting and occupying, doing nothing. No, we're to take and occupy ourselves, occupy our time. We're to spend some time doing something for God. Hey, fill your life with that which is right, okay? If thou doest well. You know, if we had to occupy ourselves with being involved with doing what's right and continually serving and looking for something more, ways I could do it. Hey, that's a definite remedy. It is a definite remedy. Find something that I can do, keep me busy, and doing right, doing what's good, doing what's right. He said, well, I can't figure out anything to do. Oh, come on. There's tons of things you can do. But occupy yourself. Occupy yourself. Y'all know I'm on a diet, okay? Trying to lose weight. The times it is easiest is when I'm busy. Times when it's easiest when you're busy. You got something going on. Now, the only problem is, as a preacher, you have to study. And so there's times you're sitting there and you're studying, and while you're sitting there studying, your stomach begins to talk to you. And say, what happened to the guy I used to know? What happened to the fellow that used to love, you know, fried chicken and mashed potatoes and gravy? Where is he? I'm going to tell you, when you're sitting there and you're studying and your stomach's talking to you, you begin to think about it. That's when it's difficult. But if it's something, man, I'm going and busy and doing things, and I don't think about it. Don't even worry about it. And it's okay. It's not hard. It's not difficult. But it's in those moments there when there's nothing happening that it becomes difficult. All right? It becomes difficult when I'm sitting at school like it was this last week. Brother Dunbar had carried the kids that were in the 100 Club off to eat somewhere. I'm drinking my lunch. Protein drink. That far. I tilt it back, my eyes fall on that young girl right over there on that table. She's having a donut for lunch. Thank you. That makes it easy, right? No, that's a challenge. That's the challenge. Hey, listen, but what does the Bible say? Find something definite to do. Find something definite to do. Hey, listen, I don't know what sin besets you, okay? But I guarantee you the truth of the matter is each one of us, there is some besetting sin that we have to deal with. It is a difficult thing that we deal with, and it may be not every day, but every so often the old devil comes up and he waves that flag in front of you and the temptation comes by you, all right? You need to have a definite remedy, but it also needs to be a deliberate remedy, not by chance. You ought to set up something on purpose, on purpose. Remember that verse, it says, if thou doest well, that's on purpose. We don't accidentally do what's wrong. We don't accidentally do what's right. We need to purpose. Remember where it says over there in Daniel and those three Hebrew buddies of his, they purposed in their heart they had not sinned against God. They purposed. It was on purpose. It was a deliberate thing. It was a deliberate thing. You and I, we've got to develop that same mindset. Yes, sin is close. It does lie at the door. It's going to be right there, and it'll always be right there, especially if we allow it to get comfortable. We don't persist in running it off. It'll always be there. And then the choice becomes an easy choice to do wrong. But if we'll run it off, and we'll develop a definite, deliberate remedy and say, I'm going to do right, I'm going to put myself into it, I will continually do right. Say, preacher, what do you do when you're there at home and your stomach begins to talk to you? I'd rather not confess my sin right now. You just deal with it, okay? Deal with it. I made up my mind. Remember, I said it's a choice. It's a choice. A choice that I made up my mind. I've got to lose this weight. I've just got to lose. And I just have to keep reminding myself, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Hey, but when it comes to sin, it ought to be like Joseph said. How can I do this great sin against my God? Hey, it wasn't just his sin against Potiphar, but he realized this against God. Folks, sin's always going to be at the door. It's always going to be close. And it's our duty to do our best to keep it run off, all right? But it's our choice. Never forget, it is your choice. Whatever the sin is, Don't go around pointing the finger at somebody else. I've talked many times about young people that I've known, and some not so young, that they were doing okay in life until they met the wrong person. They just got with the wrong individual. Now, I'll tell you this. I still don't blame the wrong individual. Hey, the saved individual had a choice. Yeah, the wrong individual hurt them and it messed them up, but it was their choice. It was their choice. I don't know about y'all, but I had a lot of opportunity. When I was a kid, there was always somebody coming along who wanted to convince me to get involved in something that my parents had said no. And so it became my choice. And I began to weigh that opportunity, began to look at it. Okay, I can go over here and have fun with Charlie, but when I get home, it ain't going to be no fun. So I need to decide, what should I do? My choice. My choice. Hey, listen, it may not be Charlie. It may be something else. It may be somebody else. It may be some sin that's out there. Hey, by the way, some sin that only you and God know about. Your friends don't know it. Your family doesn't know it. Even your spouse doesn't know it. But you know it. You know it. And God knows it. It's still your choice. Still your choice. And you need to remember, be sure your sin will find you out. You need to make sure your choice is right. Sin has a cure. And we've got somebody to help us, okay? We've got somebody to help us. You don't have to run through it by your lonesome. I don't know how many times I've told people, look, you're having trouble. You got this sin you have to deal with, and it's a tough thing. I said, you call me. I don't care night or day. Night or day, call me. Call me. You said, preacher, what would you do? Well, if it was something I needed to, I'd get up. I'd go to them wherever they were. And we'd walk them through it until they got out of it, and I'd want to keep them from it, okay? Hey, booze has a tremendous hold on people, and it causes unlimited harm and unbelievable suffering, all right? And so do drugs, but I'm going to be honest with you. I don't blame anybody but the people involved, okay? The people involved. You say, well, if the supply wasn't there, supply wouldn't be there if there wasn't such a demand, all right? You need to learn to deal with sin, and you need to learn to deal with your troubles without having to take something outside, without having to take something from the outside. The Lord can help you, okay? Now, I realize it may be a stage, and you may have to work to get to that point, but you ought to do it. It's a choice, all right? It's a choice. So tonight, I say to you, sin lieth at the door. Will you keep the door shut? Will you just work to keep the door shut? Will you do your best to keep it away from you? Whatever the sin is you deal with, what steps can you take to keep it away from you? Keep it away from you. I give you this experience. When I was growing up, I almost want to ask, but I'm not going to ask. But I didn't have a lot of people come to me and say, hey, wanna smoke a joint? I never had anybody do that. I never had anybody come by with a hypodermic. Hey, man, we're going to go shoot up. You want to go with us? I never had anybody do that. Why? Because I had a testimony. Had a testimony. And my wife tells me about the time she is out on a bus visitation, and the guy said, you want a beer? But the truth of the matter is, he was kidding. He knew she wouldn't take it. Knew she wouldn't take it. I got a friend that sometimes makes homebrew, and he's offered it to me, and he said, I won't tell anybody. I said, that's okay, I won't tell anybody. But I'm going to tell you this. He knows I'm not going to touch it. And if I did, I'd lose every bit of respect that he has for me. Every bit of it. Now, listen to me. I don't go hang out with him, okay? He's a friend, but I don't go hang out with him. There's some people you can't. Sin lieth at the door. So will you do well? If you do well, you can beat it. Heavenly Father, would you help us tonight? Lord, I don't know the needs, and I don't know the specific instances of sin that may face each one that's here tonight. But Lord, each person here knows the problem they deal with. And it could be things like envy, jealousy, covetousness. Lord, it doesn't have to be booze or drugs or something like that. It could be a lot of things. And a lot of things that a lot of people would say, man, if that's the only thing I worried about, I wouldn't worry about it. But it's a sin. And Lord, would you help us? Would you help us to see we have a choice? We have a choice, and we need to be sure we establish ourselves and we look for that cure and we do well so we don't allow that sin to get in our life. Help us now, Lord. Folks need to use the altar. Help them to come, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.